Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, this was a nostalgic week for me when it comes to New York theater. I saw a revival of a musical that was the first show performed by an after-school program that I was involved with. I'm thrilled it's back at a time when it seems even more relevant. The other show I saw is a comedy from abroad playing inside New York City Center. Now, why did this one strike my nostalgia nerve? Well, because it stars an actress whose photos once covered my bulletin boards, whose haircut and clothes I copied, and whose movies I saw over and over again. But let's start with the first production, and that is The Right Word for Once on This Island, playing at Circle in the Square's unique home on West 50th Street. Unique because, as the name implies, the audience surrounds the action, and there is a lot of it going on here to fill the eyes and ears. Even while we are being seated, we are immersed in the life of a poverty-stricken island. Clothes are hanging, debris and sand is everywhere. Even a live goat is being tended to. Eventually, the lights come down and the fable begins to unfold, narrated by a series of storytellers. There are two different worlds on one island, we are told. The peasants and the grand hommes are never meant to meet. Well, we are in the French Antilles, and a storm is brewing. We even feel the winds churning up the surrounding waters. So begins what might be called Romeo and Juliet Goes Caribbean. A young orphan woman named Timone saves a car-wrecked boy, Daniel, and falls in love. She makes her way to what we might call the right side of the sand, nurses him back to health, and believes they will live happily ever after. His heart beats for me like a drum. Of course, tradition and long-entrenched elitism have other ideas. What matters here most are the songs. Lyrics by Lynn Ahrens and music by Stephen Flaherty, they would go on to create bigger shows such as Ragtime, Seussical, and Anastasia, but not necessarily better ones. Once on This Island was first produced on Broadway in 1990. It was not a hit, but eventually was performed by many youth groups, like the one I helped create called City Lights. The songs are tuneful and beautiful. The messages are simple yet potent. The story is easy to follow, and it has a lot of roles, frankly, for kids to play. Now, I don't know exactly how or why it was decided to bring it back, whether the current political climate had anything to do with it, but this very busy production directed by Michael Arden is about as good as it could get. The venue is well suited to the action. The color and even a gender-blind casting certainly seems timely. The performers are all excellent. I was surprised to see that Norm Lewis has stepped into a supporting role as the God of Water. But then this is what I love about actors. I last saw Lewis as the vicious barber in Sweeney Todd. Before that, he was Porgy opposite Audra McDonald's Bess. Before that, the first black Phantom of the Opera. Actors love to work, and aren't we lucky? This 90-minute production is family-friendly, lively, and touching. That being said, while the reviews and word of mouth are strong, I'm not necessarily predicting a long run. Tickets are half price for almost every performance. Now, we head five blocks north to City Center's smallest venue called Stage 2. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a young teen, I did everything humanly possible to look like Haley Mills, especially after seeing The Parent Trap, including performing Let's Get Together with my best friend for our highly tolerant families. I bought fan magazines and took down my photos of Sandra Dee and replaced them with Haley. And there they stayed, well, at least until Bye Bye Birdie came along and Aunt Margaret went up. All this is my way of saying that I felt like my entire life had passed me by as I watched Mills perform in a small and mostly enjoyable five-character play called Party Face. And she's been traveling with this piece by the Irish writer Isabel Mahon for a while. It's your basic let's get together for a party and all hell breaks loose. Two of the women are sisters. Another is their materialistic and judgmental mother. Yep, that's Haley. Another, a duplicitous neighbor. And the fifth is a friend from the host's recent stint at a psychological facility. There's some very funny and relatable moments here. Who hasn't had a mother who looks at your chosen outfit and says, I will tidy up while you go get ready, or comments on your strategically placed home decorations. In my day, you never saw a lily outside of a funeral parlor. But there are tender and even harsh moments as the play progresses. Is it anything new? Of course not, but the audience seems to enjoy, and I'm quite sure many of them are as curious as I was. How's my idol looking at the age of 71? Well, she's very little. She somewhat resembles a Beverly Hills matron, but close your eyes and the voice is exactly the same. Now, a bit of theater news. The next waitress has been announced. Catherine McPhee, who we first got to know on American Idol, will take on that role. I confess, I thought Waitress would not survive after losing its original star, Jesse Mueller. How wrong I was. Now, that was originally a small film, and to add to the growing list of upcoming shows that are based on movies, two more have been announced. Dave, which starred Kevin Kline on screen as a rather dim-witted president, no longer the most dim-witted, of course. Also coming is Tootsie, based on the Dustin Hoffman film. I think it's fair to assume neither Hoffman nor Kline will do the stage versions, as they become musical in nature. These are in development, which means they will try them out in other cities first, with the goal being a Broadway theater. Always a goal, though just because a show is not ultimately meant for the most famous stage, well, life can go on. Indecent is a perfect example. Excuse me, it did well off-Broadway, hastily made the big transfer where it failed, but Indecent has all kinds of prestigious bookings coming up, including the Guthrie in Minneapolis and the Arena in Washington. So even if it starts here, it does not necessarily need to stay or even succeed here. And finally, I saw the Grammy Awards last night, every minute, right up until past 11. Now, this may be my bias, but I thought the two most powerful performances of the night were Ben Platt doing Somewhere and Patti LuPone doing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Well, whatever you think of all the nominated songs, and they were fine and they were fun, but boy, Jill, when you get Broadway performers up there, they know how to put it over.
And what is absolutely staggering is that the Tony Awards basically can't get arrested for viewership.
I know.
And I find that so, there are many inconsistencies in life, but that is one of them. Because, and it's funny, you drove inadvertently right into a topic that I was thinking about all morning. Okay. And I don't even know why. And that is, given this sudden realization that, you know, maybe all screens all the time for all people aren't, you know, is not the most efficient for either intelligence or culture or security. Mm-hmm. One of the things that has always existed and continues to exist and do very well is Broadway, because it's live. You know, like, yes, yeah. It's a huge problem with cell phones in the theater, but mm-hmm. other than that, it's, you know, you're sitting there watching actual people do actual singing and dancing.
Correct.
Or actually performing words or creating moods or.
Yeah.
And I suspect, you know, in my search for trends, I suspect there's going to be even more interest in live as in actual. And so I will be interested to see how that evolves over the course
of... I hope you're right. And I was thinking that at watching, again, it was a fine show and it was interesting to see all the artists that are, you know, winning awards and that our kids like and all that. But I have to say, I felt almost a sense of pride when Ben Platt, who, you know, all I know him from is Dear Evan Hansen, he got up there and he did a powerful tribute to Leonard Bernstein by singing Somewhere. It was just beautiful. And Patti LuPone, as over, you know, she overdoes it a bit, and it was for Weber, Edward Lloyd Webber. But I got to tell you, that audience, they got up and they stood for those two, and I didn't see a lot of other standing ovations. Let me say, I've not read one word about them in the paper today. When on all the reviews of the show, they've not even mentioned the two. But I agree with you. I think that when people are there and they see somebody who really knows how to put a, you know, to deliver a song.
To put a song across. I swear, if Ethel Merman walked into a room and started belting something.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of youth, as we know it, would fall over.
Yeah, I guess so. But I tell you, I certainly got goosebumps. And who knows? And I agree with you. Broadway, every theater I go to is filled. I don't know how much they're paying to get in, and we always talk about this, and whether it's enough to keep a show going for a long time. But there ain't nothing like seeing something really live and emotional and intimate, and which what's amazing is that it can be a big show. Well, Once on This Island feels very intimate because that's in a smaller theater. But when it's done right, you feel you're on that island.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.